Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you miss any of our Sunday night shows, our NFL Sunday shows, in which we go over as much as we can, we grab as much real estate as we possibly can from the weekend, and we cycle through it. We process what we see. Of course, a lot of times we're talking about seeds, the push and pull of who's got the leg up for division titles or playoff spots, as well as injuries, because those really do start to mount late in the season. We had some doozy matchups this weekend in the later window on Sunday afternoon. Not only the Bills and Lions, which results in 90 total points. Goodness, the Bills, we know they can win a shootout. They also can win those grindy games that happen late in the year. They're terrific in December, and that's continuing here in this December of 2024. So we know we've got a lot of different, well, a lot of different possibilities atop both the AFC and the NFC, right? Because these were your two of your top three teams in the league to start today. And so the potential is there for each of them to win the top seeds, but the potential's there for each of them to end up as the two seeds. So we'll get back to that game coming up. Still have to talk about the NFC East behind the Eagles. So we did go over Eagles and Steelers, but the Commanders have now moved to 9-5, back-to-back wins for Washington, and the Cowboys aren't out of it yet. And while I know that you can scoff and probably it's likely they'll be on the outside looking in. Not only did they get a career high three touchdowns from Cooper Rush, but they also rushed the football. I can't help it. It's been a long day. I didn't write it that way in my notes, but it did jump out at me. So the Cowboys, yes, they get a victory. I think last week, that was it Monday night or Sunday night that they played the Bengals. Monday night, they are going to look back at that if they come super close to the postseason and think, don't, that was the final nail, if you will, because that was a tough one. They took that really hard and should have protected that lead. Anyway, Cowboys able to rush the football. That's a big deal. Cooper Rush settling in, but really it's life support for their playoff hopes. So we will talk about the NFC East. We've already gone over Eagles and Giants. And if you miss anything, our podcast is available every weekday morning within minutes of us wrapping up here on the show, within minutes of dropping the boom. You will then have the podcast available. So you can find it in multiple places. You can check it out on our parent website, odyssey.com. But we do actually share the link on both our show Twix at Amy After Hours, as well as our Facebook page. And it's an evergreen link, meaning the podcast just keep loading up. And so you always, when you pull up the page or pull it up on your phone, you you'll always have the most recent episodes, but you can scroll down and get any of the hours and any of the episodes that you need. I love when people tell me they listen on Spotify because I'm a huge fan of Spotify and all the different podcasts that I pull up on Spotify. There's something for everyone there. So yeah, when people tell me that's how they listen, it gives me a smile. So the podcast will be available, but we're trying to get to as much as we can. NFC East this hour, also AFC South. Did you guys see Jonathan Taylor's rookie mistake? I cannot believe a veteran of his caliber makes a choice slash mistake like that. I hate to call it a mistake because I feel like it's something that's hammered into your brain as a running back or a receiver when you're trying to cross the goal line, but he did it. And a disastrous second half for the Colts against the Denver Broncos. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about still in the AFC and the NFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. We had a team from each conference meeting at SoFi Stadium as the Bucks and Chargers went toe-to-toe. This was a weird one. It's actually, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. It was a weird one because the Chargers built a nice lead. They were up by two scores in a couple of different spots in that first half against the Buccaneers. Now, the Bucs had committed back-to-back turnovers in the first half with a Baker Mayfield interception and then a Rashad White fumble. And you may not see this as a major turning point, but when Tampa Bay managed to get into field goal range and get 3 points on the board, right? Get a field goal on the board before halftime. I felt like it lit a fire. They were then within a couple of points and they come out of the halftime locker room absolutely rolling. In fact, they have all 27 points in the second half.
Here's the snap, chest high. Mayfield looking to his left, looking to his left, still looking to his left, directing traffic, throws the ball downfield. Caught ball! Mike Evans down the sideline. Is he inbounds to the 10? 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers! Shotgun look to pass. Mayfield looking, throws the ball downfield toward Evans. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Buccaneers with Mike Evans. Two catches in the promised land today. What a throw by Mayfield on third down, a dozen.
The two of them have a great connection. Remember, Mike Evans was out for a couple of weeks. Well, he was on IR, and he was out. And their offense suffered when he was out. And, of course, Chris Godwin is gone, too. But to get Mike Evans back on the field is tremendous for the Buccaneers because he makes Baker Mayfield better, right? So a lot of times we point to the quarterback and say, hey, that quarterback raises the level of play of everyone else around him. And I think the mentality of Baker, the aggressiveness of Baker, sometimes he does too much, but Mike Evans makes him better. And he has kind of that safety net, but a safety net, not to say that Mike plays it safe. He is so good. He's so good that he can either extend the field and go deep like he was doing on a post route on that first touchdown, which went for 57 yards. But he can also weave his way through traffic. He can win jump balls in the end zone. I mean, he's a guy. Now, he's not quite there yet because of the injuries, but he's a guy who in his entire career with the Bucs, which is now a decade, he's never not, I know it's a double negative, I'll rephrase. He's always gained 1,000 yards receiving in every single season he's played in the NFL, all of them with the Buccaneers, multiple quarterbacks. Think about the number of QBs that he has had throwing him the ball. From Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tom Brady to now Baker Mayfield, he's always had 1,000 yards every single season. And so he's not there yet, but he's getting closer, and there is a possibility, especially if he keeps hauling in passes like this one. 9 catches, 159 yards, and a couple of scores. And both of his TDs coming in the third quarter as the Bucs flip this game on its head. Gene Deckerhoff with the calls there on Bucs radio. How about these gaudy numbers when it was all said and done? Again, most important thing is that they scored 27 points in the second half, did Tampa, and gave up no points to the Chargers. So once the Chargers had their 17, they were stuck. They were in neutral and didn't move from that spot. More than 500 yards of offense for the Buccaneers. 223 of it on the ground, which is huge. They love their rookie, Bucky Irving, who had another 100-plus yard game. Baker had 4 touchdown passes. This was an overwhelming effort by the Buccaneers. And yeah, the defense had to limit the Chargers in the second half. Mike Evans, a highlight reel all by himself.
Did a heck of a job. Every time we needed it, he came up big, counted on him, ran for a touchdown, almost ran for another one if his T-shirt wasn't so thick. I told him he got to get a short T-shirt, but, you know, he's our bell cow. We're going to need him down the stretch, and he showed up big for us. I think he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer, and he steps up and plays big. You can't put a price on what he does for this team from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from a team standpoint. He is everything that a player aspires to be from a mental. He's tough. He does great in the community. He takes care of his body. He comes up big with plays, whether you're singling them or doubling them, and he blocks. So we can't ask for anything more than what he's giving us right now.
Todd Bowles goes into the post-game locker room, and he lets out a yell, and he's hooping and he's hollering, and the whole locker room is following along with him. Now, he may have more of those moments. We just don't see a lot of them, but it reminded me of, preseason when he was asked. We actually have this, Ryan, in our system. I don't know if you can find it. But when Todd Bowles was asked about the season, he was standing at a podium, and all of a sudden we hear this weird noise come out of him. It's exciting! And he yells it in front of this press room as they're getting set to kick off the season. So we don't see a lot of that demonstrative emotion from Todd Bowles, but I do love it when we do. He's much more of just a business, a tough, hard-nosed, he's very sarcastic, too. Remember a couple of years ago, we're not going to go 0-17 on the season after they won their season opener. But he lets loose a little bit in this postgame, and you can hear him raving about Mike Evans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I believe it was Mark Sanchez on this broadcast who made the note or said that Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and his partner was Adam Amin, and Mark kind of said, "There, I said it," and Adam validates it, like, "Yeah, of course." I can't even imagine it's a question. He's a Super Bowl champion now as well, and even if his streak of 1,000-yard seasons doesn't stay intact, as I say, he makes the quarterbacks around him and the players around him better. It's exciting!
It's exciting!
If you didn't tell me that was Todd Bowles, I could have guessed like 30 different people and would never have come up with Todd Bowles. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Well, that was him in the post-game locker room. If you see the video, it's up on Buck's Twitter. So, yeah, good game. Well, good second half for the Buccaneers. The complete opposite, though, for the Chargers. And, yeah, for Baker Mayfield, I think not only are you excited about what you see from your offense and your line specifically in front of you, the lanes that were clear for the rushing attack, the ground game, but how about the defense pitching a shutout in the second half against L.A.?
Offensive line took over. And that was really the biggest difference there in the second half. Those guys played unbelievable up front. And defense, you know, complimentary football game.
Life, it's football. We've seen the good times. And today we're looking at staring adversity. And it's how we respond. That's where my mind is on to. Getting ready for this next game.
Jim Harbaugh, you can hear it as the team has hit some adversity here in the last month, dropping 3 of 4 games. So these two teams are going in opposite directions. Although, let's be fair, Chargers are in a far more difficult conference and a far more difficult division than are the Bucs, who themselves had dropped a handful of games in a row. I think it was 3. Don't quote me on that. I can go back and look. But now they've won 4 in a row. Meanwhile, Atlanta has lost 4 in a row. And so the Bucs have taken a firm grip on that NFC South. It's a division that's been wide open, though. I mean, the Buccaneers are trying to win another division title and keep their streak alive. But yeah, it's been a roller coaster for them. 4 losses in a row to teams like the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs, the Niners, and now 4 wins in a row. Giants, Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, the only team in the last month who's had a winning record. So yeah, getting Mike Evans back and facing teams that are not so good has been a boost to the Buccaneers. As for the Chargers, they end up seeing Justin Herbert kind of tweak that ankle again, which is tough because he's been dealing with it all season long. He does finally throw an interception after 350 attempts without a pick. He gets picked off, but really the picture is much bleaker if you kind of pull the lens out. So don't zoom on Herbert, but pull it out a little bit. You're talking about only 206 yards of offense in this one. So they actually, they give up 506 yards of offense. They only gained 206. Are you kidding me? When was the last time you watched a game in which a team had 300 more yards than its opponent? And this was so lopsided, couldn't establish the run. And so, yeah, Justin Herbert, potentially limited because of his mobility.
It was all right. I mean, it's getting better. And, you know, obviously not to where I'd like to be, but we'll continue to do treatment and get everything right so that we'll be ready to go on Thursday.
And we didn't play well enough. We didn't coach well enough. I mean, it was pretty thorough, you know, very thorough. And now we're staring at that adversity. It's how we respond.
You know what I saw after this game? We'll track the Chargers, of course, because for weeks it looked like they were bound for a playoff spot. And now, actually, that could be in jeopardy. So we'll talk about the AFC West, the Broncos, Colts. We'll get to that game coming up. But the thing about the Chargers that stands out is, you know, they defensively were tops in the NFL in scoring defense, meaning they were holding teams to right about 13 points per game. Then it jumped up to 15 points per game. Now, if you look at what they've given up, so against the Chiefs, they only gave up 19. Against the Falcons, only gave up 13. But against some of the better competition in the NFL, both conferences, they gave up 30 against the Ravens. They gave up now 40 to the Buccaneers. Before that, gave up 27 to the Bengals. So the numbers are starting to creep up and up and up, and that defense no longer among the stingiest in the NFL. So you face off against some of the more potent offenses, and those numbers start to change a little bit. Let's see if I can figure out what their scoring defense is now. This may not be updated with yesterday's game, which would be huge. Right now, I should have said scoring defense. Right now, they're giving up, looks just under 18 points per game. But where they were at 13 points per game about 6 weeks ago, that's pretty significant. So I do think that they are still a defense that has some teeth to it. But when you're getting nothing from your offense and your defense is exhausted in the second half because they're constantly backpedaling, it compounds all of the issues. But the Chargers have fallen to third in the AFC West because the Broncos had a massive rally. So here we see the Bucs score the final 27 points of the game. Wait until you see what the Broncos did after falling to an early hole against Indianapolis. And they've put themselves in position now, second place in the AFC West. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Also on our Facebook page. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're waking up on your Monday, ouch, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and 10 at the Colts 13. Javonte in the game, pumps, throws, end zone, touchdown Denver! Adam Troutman, good pump fake from Bo Nix on the left side. He came right back. Troutman, the inside of two receivers on the right, just ran a little seam route, and he was all by himself. Franklin comes in motion. Bo, play fake, climbs the pocket, throws a ball, and is caught inside the 10, spinning to the goal line, and that is a Denver touchdown for Nate Atkins!
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Denver Broncos had a couple offensive highlights in this game against the Indianapolis Colts, but only after Indy raced out to a 10-0 lead. Bo Nix with an interception issue in this game in Denver, and his first one gives the Colts a second quarter field goal. And again, they were up 10-0 before the Broncos ever got warmed up, before the fans could ever get into it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A disastrous second half for Indy, though. Gosh, this was painful to watch. Another Bo Nix interception starts the third quarter. But right after that, Jonathan Taylor makes a rookie, I'm using my air quotations, rookie mistake. He rips off a long run, 41 yards. I've gone back and watched this multiple times to make sure I could say this accurately. He was not touched. From the time he takes the ball in the backfield from Anthony Richardson, he is not touched. So he is full speed ahead, nobody in front of him. He gets out in clean air. All he's got to do is possess the ball across the goal line. Instead, he drops it. Now, this took a while for them to sort out. So if you're watching the broadcast on CBS, Gene Steratour, the longtime NFL referee, who's now the rules analyst, he was going through it. He was waiting while they were going through the replay themselves, right? As it turns out, Jonathan Taylor did, in fact, drop the ball before he crossed the goal line. And as the ball hit the ground, what does it do? Well, it squirts around. It kind of skips around. And it then ends up going out of the end zone for a touchback for the Broncos. This would have been a touchdown, again, an easy touchdown if he just maintains the ball, that would have put the Colts up 20-7 if they make the point after attempt. Instead, it's a huge turning point. And yeah, they're all talking about it after the game, including Jonathan Taylor, who does go over 100 yards, but doesn't get the score.
I just told them, you know, I apologize, and I just know that that'll never happen again. Like you said, you know, that never happened to me before, and, you know, it'll never happen again.
It was a mistake. Obviously, it hurt us, but, you know, he's one of our leaders, and sometimes that happens in football. But, you know, he's our guy, and that's where it's at.
That was significant. I don't get it, but I'm not going to try to. I don't know what that was going to be. Yeah, it was a significant play that you go from breaking a long run for a touchdown for your team to us having the ball.
Sean Payton, Shane Steichen, even though he's backing his guy, Jonathan Taylor, they all know. As if you're watching the broadcast, you saw the Broncos sidelines before they realized that this was, in fact, a fumble by Jonathan Taylor. Their body language, their facial expressions, 41 yards. He nearly went half the length of the field. All he had to do was keep the ball across the goal line and doesn't do it. So that really becomes a major turning point. But the landslide doesn't stop there for the Colts. After another Bo Nix interception, the Colts fumble again. Now, it wasn't quite as dramatic as Jonathan Taylor's, but they fumble again. I think it was Anthony Richardson in that case. Oh, no, it was Michael Pittman, excuse me. So Michael Pittman fumbles that one. So that becomes another turnover for the Colts. It's recovered by Denver, though the Broncos don't do anything with it. The final piece in the second half, which really seals their demise, is a failed trick play. So I want you to hear it first, and then we can talk about it. But, man, this was, to me, kind of the epitome of what's happened with the Colts this season, where they get too cute, they try to do too much, either it's the coaching staff or it's Anthony Richardson. It's one step forward, two steps back with this team.
Quads to the right, four receivers right. This is going to be a double pass. They throw it, complete it, throw it back to Richardson. It's going to be intercepted! Intercepted, Nick Bonito! Bonito to the end zone! Touchdown, Denver! 50 yards on the pick six.
Don't often see a pick six quite like that one, but Nick Bonito with another pick six. Had one earlier in the month, I believe, but just not that long ago. And the defense is able to tack on an exclamation point. Dave Logan with the calls on the Broncos radio network. Yeah, you want to talk about demoralizing the way that they coughed up and choked away all those opportunities where this could have been a huge win for the Colts. They could have moved to 7-7 on the season and stayed alive for the AFC South title. As it is, with this Indy loss, the Houston Texans are the champs of the South. Let's talk about the Broncos here first, because this is also a big deal for them. They have not had a playoff spot, not clinched a playoff spot since Super Bowl 50. which was the last time that we saw Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware. This has been a pretty rough stretch for that Broncos fan base. But here they are with four wins in a row. At 9-5, they leapfrogged the Chargers into second place in the AFC West. And while they had plenty of issues in this game, they were home, and yet they had three interceptions from the rookie QB, Bo Nix. They end up going just 6 of 17 on third down. There were a lot of points left out there too, but the defense and the takeaway, so 5 takeaways against the Colts, all of that leads to the Broncos now finally clinching a winning season.
It's really important, and the expectations are high. And so it's nice to get the 9th win. We'll have some cupcakes for you guys as you leave, and then we'll go from there.
Good teams respond on a day like today. I mean, you know, good teams find ways to win, and playoffs teams find ways to win these close ones. And I felt like that's what we did. So it's a sign of a good football team, and we have that. We have, you know, a really good defense who played outstanding again today.
So Bo Nix, as a rookie quarterback, has shown flashes similar to what we've seen from, say, a Drake May with New England. I know Drake was drafted higher. He was number 3. But there are moments where you realize that these quarterbacks are developing and could very well end up as the franchise QB should they stay healthy and continue on these paths. There's a lot to like. But it's also tough because rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. And so in this case, you've got Nix, who's battling himself. He throws 3 interceptions. The team falls into a big hole. But he's got to stay mentally focused on the game.
I'm not gonna lie, it's tough. You start getting a little bit in your head, and you start questioning, you know, what am I actually seeing? What was that? So it's tough. But you know, I feel like everybody goes through it. So the ones that can get out of it and, you know, finish the game and win and not let it, you know, dictate the outcome of the game, that's usually when you find some maturity and you find some growth.
That is true. And the Broncos turned it into a win. And this is a confident step for them that they can win anyway. Of course, against better teams, that's not going to happen. You not only start slow and put yourself in a 10-0 hole, which maybe isn't a death knell in the NFL, but then you have these kinds of mistakes and you don't capitalize on your opportunities. And yeah, you're a better opponent's going to come roaring right through that big old door that you left open. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We had a game, it was Bengals-Titans that had 10 total turnovers. In this one, 8 total turnovers with 5 for Indianapolis. And as much as Shane Steichen was asked about the playoff odds after the game, I do not care about their playoff odds. So the Houston Texans end up winning the AFC South. They did win on Sunday and moved to 9-5. And so their defense was also terrific. We'll try to get to that one coming up. Right now, very rarely do the NFL playoffs begin on Sunday, December 15th, or Monday, December 16th, so keep that in mind. But right now, if the NFL season were to end, I think there'd be a huge outcry. I'm sorry, I'll stop with the sarcastic comments. Both the Chargers and Broncos would be in the playoffs, which means the AFC West, which the Chiefs have dominated now for years, nearly a decade, in terms of their playoff. Well, not just their playoffs, but like their division titles, right? They've won 9 in a row. They've been the cream of the crop we know in the NFL. And yet, here they are, potentially going to send 3 teams to the AFC playoff bracket. I mean, that's huge. Last year, it was the AFC North, remember, that had all the 4 teams above 500 and the 3 playoff spots. Well, this year it could end up being the West. So the Chiefs are still sitting at 13-1, and they've already locked up the title. But Broncos are 9-5. Chargers are 8-6. You look elsewhere around the AFC. We talked about the Colts. They fall to 6-8. Also the Bengals 6-8. So technically alive, as are the Dolphins at 6-8. But you've got too many teams ahead of you. So Steelers and Ravens, they will match up in week 16. You look at really the rest of the division. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's kind of weird haves and have-nots in the AFC. So you've got your 4 teams right now who've clinched playoff spots. Other than the Ravens, it's only Broncos and Chargers who have winning records. So while it's not impossible, right now it's looking like those are your teams that will represent the AFC. We're going to get to the Texans. I want to shift gears, though, and talk about the NFC East because the Commanders are trying to find their stride again and make sure they don't miss the playoffs in the first year with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn at the helm. Plus the Cowboys. We're talking about clinging to playoff hopes. Well, Cowboys are doing the same thing. At A-Law Radio, then our Facebook page, too. We're always glad to connect with you after hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Daniels pumps, he chased to the left, stops,
cuts back, dropped the ball, picks it up, throws it towards the end zone. Oh, in between defenders, was that caught? It was! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Unbelievable catch by McLaurin in between defenders! They play action Robinson. Daigle's in looks, fires into the end zone, and that one is caught! Terry McLaurin for the second time! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
Spencer Rattler out of the shotgun. Looks to throw, stands, does throw, caught, corner of the end zone, and that's Foster Moreau. The Saints have climbed all the way back, but not yet. They're down one.
And they're going for two.
This is it. Two-point conversion. Rattler's in the gun. Jamal Williams is the back. In motion, Moreau just scored the touchdown. Rattler rolling to his right, looking, firing, throws. Incomplete! Incomplete! Whoa. Washington wins 20-19!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You know what stands out at me as I listen to some of the play-by-play from Saints and Commanders? They were in New Orleans. Those are mostly calls from Bram Weinstein on the Commanders radio network, but you also hear the Saints in there as well. What I can't get over is how loud it is in the Superdome, even with this team trailing by multiple scores, and the Commanders obviously allow the Saints to come back in here, but the fact that the fans were still so engaged and making that much noise. The Superdome has a crazy atmosphere when the fans are lit, and they definitely were to host these Commanders. So the final score is a one-point margin because, as you hear there at the end, Darren Rizzi decides to go for two instead of the point after attempt and the tie that would have forced overtime. So Spencer Rattler, who was the third quarterback in this game for New Orleans, they started Jake Haener, but then end up pulling him. And it's Spencer Rattler with Derek Carr out for the rest of the way. He's got a broken hand, I think, and also was in concussion protocol. So he's pretty banged up. So here they are trying to piece it together as best as possible. And Rattler leads them down the field, throws a touchdown to Foster Moreau with no time left on the clock, and Rizzi decides to go for two. Now, I get it. You're the Saints. You've got nothing to lose, but pretty incredible for this interim head coach.
Just a mixture of emotions because, you know, we walk off the field with a loss, but I don't know if I've ever been more proud of a team. So it's certainly a mixed bag there.
Now, one great highlight for that Saints defense is the fact that they were able to sack Jaden Daniels, the rookie QB, 8 times. And how about this? 2 sacks each for Chase Young and 2 for the veteran Cam Jordan.
Man, the hard work, effort, and the trust and the game plan of letting guys win off, you know, the edge or, you know, in the interior, wherever it was, instead of, you know, trying to over game plan, it was simplifying.
I know at this point, if you're late in an NFL season and you're looking at moral victories, quote unquote, so Darren Rizzi being really proud of the team, here they are, they fall into 5-9. The fact that the fans are still engaged to me means something. It matters to them still. But yeah, you don't have a starting quarterback. You don't know about the future with your QBs. Moderately successful at running the ball against Washington. There is the 8 sacks, and that was huge, I think, just for them being able to try to contain Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, who had a couple of touchdown passes in this one. So there were some positives to take away, but another season in which you got to feel like it was a failure, really unable to establish any forward momentum. It's different if you're rebuilding, but the Saints chose to kind of stick with this group other than, well, and then they kept Dennis Allen. So they chose to stick with this group. They fire him earlier in the season. I don't know if Darren Rizzi gets a shake or gets a chance at coaching this team. I mean, he was clearly going in blind. Remember, he told us he'd never even been in the coach's room. And the first day he clogs the toilet and goes on and on about how that meant he was not head coaching material, which was kind of goofy, but great Hall of Fame material. Anyway, so I do appreciate the fans, and I love that the defense is still out there fighting so hard, but this is tough to fall to 5-9. Though I dare say, players are probably going to tell you they'd rather go for the win instead of overtime. As for the Commanders, in hostile territory, despite the 8 sacks and the mess of the offensive line, Dan Quinn's rookie quarterback and the rest of that offense, they're able to find just enough to get this W.
Pretty remarkable in that way as a mature young player where he doesn't, you know, ride the roller coaster too much. And that's not easy to do, especially with somebody that gets as much attention as he does.
He certainly does get a lot of attention, and early on, they had those two first-half touchdown passes to Terry McLaurin, who is terrific. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback's best friend. So there was this rally, but they're able to hold him off, and I think that these are the types of games that prepare you. Now, we've never had a team quarterbacked by a rookie win the Super Bowl. It's never happened. And so it's unlikely to happen this year either. And they kind of went through their swoons there, but they're at 9-5 and they're knocking on the door of a playoff spot. Remember, he's just a year removed from winning the Heisman Trophy with LSU, but goes 25-31, 226 yards. And how about this? His return to Louisiana comes inside the Superdome.
It was fun. It was awesome. My second time playing in the Dome. It was my first winning here, my first ever game at LSU was here on a Sunday. Lost by 1 point, so it felt good to win by 1 point.
How about that? And if we're looking at the NFC and the playoff picture, a little bit different than what we talked about with the AFC, but the fact that you've got such a top-heavy conference, think about the Eagles and Lions both being 12-2. The Vikings have a chance to move to 12-2 tonight on Monday Night Football against the Bears, though, of course, inside the NFC North. Those rivalries are crazy. The Packers, we'll talk about again at the top of the hour, moving to 10-4 on the season. Wowzers. And so by record, because I do believe you are what your record says you are, the Commanders are the next best team after that group. Because in the NFC South and the West, none of the teams have 9 wins. Right now, the division leaders are 8-6. The Buccaneers, the Rams, the Seahawks, they're all 8-6. But by virtue of just the playoff format, the Commanders, of course, would end up with a wild card unless they somehow can reel in the Eagles. Those two teams meet next week, which is huge. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking about the NFC East, I know we have plenty of Cowboys fans out there. And I wonder, this may be morbid of me, but I actually wonder if there are more Cowboys fans out there that so desperately want to see Mike McCarthy get fired that they would rather have the team suck the rest of the way through. But one of the reasons that I hear, and this is including Hall of Famer Troy Aikman, one of the reasons that I hear given for why Jerry Jones may stick with Mike McCarthy is because the team is still playing its arses off. I mean, they're still playing and working at it for this coach, despite clinging to life support when it comes to the playoffs. Now, they've won 3 of 4. This includes yesterday against the Panthers, but consider who they've beaten. Well, the Commanders was a huge deal. Commanders about a month ago, the Giants, and then the Panthers on Sunday. But what we're seeing is that Cooper Rush is settling in. And so for him to have a career-high 3 touchdown passes, that's big. Another big game for CeeDee Lamb as well, over 100 yards and a score. And how about the run game? Yes, I know it was against the Panthers, but still, they've had so little activity and so little traction with the run game for most of the season. That's been a major problem for them, as they could not establish the run against better teams. Well, Rico Dowdle has a career high 149 yards on 25 carries, and the team itself goes over 200 yards rushing. That was not likely. That was impossible earlier in the year.
Yeah, you know, he's in a real rhythm. I think he's really in a rhythm with the guys up front, reading blocks, cutting here, cutting there. And our communication and coordination up front has been tremendous the last few weeks.
I know, again, it's against the Bengals a week ago. It's against the Panthers in this week 15. But last week, Rico had 131 yards. Now he ups it and tacks on almost another 20 on top of that. And you can imagine how different that makes life, how much easier it makes the game and life manageable for Cooper Rush. And Mike McCarthy likes what he sees. Not that you wouldn't rather have Dak Prescott out there.
Love his poise. He commands the huddle, keeps us in really good plays. You can see that throughout the day, particularly how we ran the ball. And just because, you know, this defense is very challenging. They do a phenomenal job testing you, especially on a short week. So, you know, a lot of credit to our players for managing that.
Yeah, Micah Parsons with 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits. So they were able to get to Bryce Young six times for sacks. And here's what's crazy to me. I don't know if you know this, Ryan. The Panthers were the favorite to start this game. They were actually the betting favorite in this game. That's how little people believe in the Cowboys. But that kind of blew me away. I was really stunned by that. I think I would have maybe been less surprised if this game were in Arlington, only because they've been so bad at home. This game was actually on the road in Charlotte, and the Panthers were favored.
They played a close game versus the Bengals. I don't know why.
And the Chiefs, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no, I was talking about the Cowboys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the Panthers. Gotcha.
Cowboys played good last week. Besides for the muff punt,
yeah,
well, they had a chance to win that.
They did, and that would have been a 4-game win streak. Of course, that one's going to come back to bite him in the rear if, in fact, they get that close or so close to a playoff spot. So, yeah, the Panthers were the favorite to start this game, but 4 Bryce Young turnovers and 6 sacks. So the second-year QB who definitely had been making progress. I think people were raving about him under Dave Canales and the fact that it looked like the Panthers were going to stick with him. And I'm not saying that all changes in one game, only that the defense for the Cowboys was able to get to him and make him look kind of silly at times. Now, he did have one cool moment, a career-long 83-yard touchdown to Jalen Coker. So that was one for the highlight reel for Bryce, but kind of gets lost in this loss. Ha-ha. As for the Cowboys, 1-3-4, and they're still alive. Barely, but they're still alive in the NFC East. I know there are Cowboys fans out there that want them to do the exact opposite so that it ensures changes in the coaching staff. That's sick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.